My name is Pauline Laffin, and I work for the Office of Research Development and Information at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And we initiated this study because of some research that we have been doing looking at the use of Medicare preventive benefits and trying to understand why the use of some of our benefits, actually most of our benefits, is lower than we would like them to be. So I just want to put this research and our findings into context before I turn it over to Mark. CMS is a rather large organization, and as you know, we pay bills, but we also do lots of different kinds of research, and we have a group in our agency that does consumer research, and so we approached that group to do this research for us when we started to see some problems, especially with colorectal cancer screening. And so I want to thank Beth Simon, who was at CMS at the time, and her and Kate at CMS for helping me get this through CMS. To start with, colorectal cancer is the second leading cause of cancer death behind lung cancer. And the relative five-year survival for colon cancer is 90% for cancer caught in its early stages, which is quite high. And it's one of the few types of cancers that can actually be prevented through screening because of removing polyps before they become cancerous. However, only 39% of cancers are found in these early stages. And appropriate screening could save over half of the 52,000 people that are expected to die this year from this disease. We also know that the risk for getting this disease increases with age. Medicare has covered colorectal cancer screening since 1998, but we've seen that the use of this benefit has remained pretty steady. It's creeped up a little bit. It's about 52%. We found that by analyzing Medicare claims from 1998 to 2004, about 52% of Medicare beneficiaries have at least one claim. So we started to look through the literature. We started talking to the American Cancer Society and the National Cancer Institute, trying to find out what other research had been done, specifically with people 65 and older, who we think are quite different from people 50 and older, for whom the guidelines actually start. The guidelines now are that people 50 and older should be screened for this type of cancer. And so we really didn't find very much research focusing on our population. And so we looked to doing maybe some consumer research to find out whether the materials that are out now and the messages that are being used to promote colorectal cancer screening actually resonate with the Medicare population. And I'm going to turn it over to Mark to talk about this research.
Thank you. As Pauline mentioned, the core issue here was to understand how relevant is this body of work that's been done in the 50-plus population when you move to the 65-plus population. And so in our objectives here, we wanted to understand barriers and motivators. We wanted to understand outreach strategies employed by other organizations. We wanted to assess the extent to which these strategies are relevant as it relates to the 65-plus audience. And we really wanted to look at some of the existing communications that were out there and see how older adults are interpreting and what conclusions older adults are drawing from the various interventions that are out there. Our study is qualitative in nature, in large part because we wanted to understand, we wanted to explore those reactions to the communication, as well as to kind of begin to understand other factors that drive screening behavior. We talked in great depth, to 59 seniors, 1 hour long cognitive interviews. We did them in two markets, a high screening market based on Medicare data, which was Baltimore, and a low screening market, again, based on Medicare data, which was Las Vegas. We had a mix of different types of individuals underneath that based on age, screening status, and risk factors for colorectal cancer. I'm going to hit on a couple of key themes that we heard with some degree of consistency across the interviews. By no means were these unanimous, and we're going to come back at the end of this to really kind of look at a model of roughly 8 pathways that sort of explain how people get to their screening status, whether they're fully screened, fully up to date, whether they are underscreened, or whether they've never been screened, or they're lapsed in their screening behavior. Not surprisingly, this is not a well-known topic amongst the general population nor amongst seniors. Much confusion about the guidelines, the recommendations, even some of the screenings. Physician recommendation, as you expect, is very important. But again, many people we talked to were even unclear that they had been screened, and it was only after discussion that they realized that the procedure they had was actually to check for colon cancer. Many people didn't even know that they'd had the procedure. Again, in kind of contrary to the younger audience, most people felt it really wasn't all that bad, frankly. The word of mouth amongst the senior community about this is pretty strong, and it's pretty positive. We saw numerous circumstances where people either said, I'm completely converted to this idea, I'm going to go out there, I regularly tell people to go and have this done. Alternatively, we saw people who were underscreened or lapsed screeners who felt that they were being, you know, they were the target of friends and family members trying to get them to go out there and have this done. A number of motivators emerged amongst the people who had this done. Everything from staying healthy, being around for your family, as you might expect. In some cases, it was because they valued their physician relationship and that there was a phenomenal amount of trust in that relationship. And if the doctor said, this is something I need to do, it's important for me to do that. And, of course, being touched by colon cancer, directly or indirectly, was a major motivator. Barriers. And barriers here are a little bit different than what we saw with some of the younger folks. With the 50-plus audience, you know, I guess what we started to call the yuck factor, the nature of the examination, the preparation beforehand, was often a major barrier with the younger audience. With the older audience, it was a little bit different. Many of these people had erected pretty good defense mechanisms to rationalize why they aren't screened or are underscreened or are lapsed in their screening. Some people just felt, you know what, I'm really not at risk for this. Others felt that I don't have symptoms, I don't have a feeling of fullness, I always, you know, look after I go to the bathroom and I don't see any blood or anything, I think everything's fine. My physician isn't really pushing me to get this done, and so if it was really important, you know, I trust my doctor and my doctor would get me in there to have this done. So there's really a different set of barriers for the younger people that we identified. This is an example of a couple of pretty well-known campaigns that are out there really geared toward the 50-plus audience. We didn't actually expose people to the actual campaigns because we really wanted to expose them to the message concepts behind these campaigns. And so people looked at different messages sort of in a one or two sentence format. But what was interesting about these campaigns is when seniors knew these campaigns very well and they knew Katie Couric's story very well. And many people looked at these campaigns and said, you know, that's a tragedy what happened to her husband. You know, young people really need to go out and get screened for that. But I'm really past that stage. It doesn't affect me. I'm not nearly as at much risk as a 50-year-old is. And we know clinically that that's just about as wrong a conclusion as you could draw from this type of campaign. Some other differences that we saw really tie back into the whole concept of health schema. How much experience, how much involvement have you had in major health issues? And what we see with seniors, a lot of the yuck factor just wasn't an issue for them. Now, I had one lady who said to me, I've had open heart surgery. Do you think a colonoscopy is going to bother me at this point in my life? Many people, once they learned about what it was, once they understood what the risk factors were, felt that, you know, I would certainly have this done. Other key differences that we saw, seniors generally were able to perform these exams. There wasn't a lot of issues around being able to actually do the FOBT. Seniors tended to have a much better understanding than the 50-year-plus audience in terms of what are some of the issues that might be driving risk factors. You know, the 50-year-olds tended to think it was a family history issue. You know, again, because of the health schema, seniors kind of realized that just about anything can be a risk factor for anything. And so diet, other factors, lifestyle clearly played into this. What I want to jump ahead to here are these pathways to screening. After identifying all of these themes, we went back across the 59 interviews and did a detailed content analysis. And what we found is we could put probably all of the people that we talked to on one of the 8 pathways that you're going to see on this slide and on the next slide. And let me orient you to these. Obviously, physician referral was the key turning point that started to drive some of the behavior here. So we've got that along the top here, and really it's arrayed almost in a continuum in some ways by a strong physician relationship, a weak physician relationship, and the absence of a physician relationship. And as you work down the side, you begin to see some of the factors that influence why and how people might be fully screened, fully up to date, maybe lapsed or behind in some of their screening or not being screened at all. And those are the modifying factors we've got in the first row there. And that could be the physician relationship, knowledge. It could be barriers to getting tested, physical barriers to getting tested, pain, other issues that they may be concerned about. Then we also were able to identify specific behaviors resulting from that. I followed the physician recommendation. I didn't do that. Something got in my way, and I didn't really get back into the test as I should have. And we get to the outcome, whether someone's fully screened, partially screened, not at all screened. So we've got these eight pathways that represent very different types of situations that people found themselves in. And for each of these pathways, and I think this is critical for communicators looking to intervene on this, whether they work for a payer, a public health agency, a provider organization, there are very clear behavioral objectives to set here, whether it is just to reinforce that you're doing the right thing and generate word of mouth, or whether it is to attack some of those defense mechanisms that people have developed as to why they feel comfortable about where they're at as it relates to their colorectal cancer screening. And the last two elements here are message strategy or message approach and the channels that might make some sense in terms of trying to reach some of these. So if you take a look at that first group over on the side there, this is almost the ideal patient. They have a very positive physician relationship. They have pretty good knowledge of the disease, probably because their doctor or nurse in the office did a good job of explaining that to them. They were recommended for a colonoscopy. They went and had it done. They're fully screened. This is a great group to reach out in order to reinforce their behavior, but also to generate word of mouth, which is so critical with the older adult audience. And there's a number of messages and ways in which you can achieve that. On the other end of the spectrum, you again have someone who has a positive relationship, but they do have some concerns about fear, discomfort. You know, maybe there's been some negative word of mouth they've tapped into, and their behavior oftentimes is to compromise. Maybe they're not fully screened. Maybe they're doing FOBT, the blood test, which has some issues around accuracy, instead of maybe going for the full-bore colonoscopy. These are detailed out in your slides, so I'm not going to go through every one of these, but this framework, I think, is a good framework to utilize when thinking about how to intervene on colon cancer issues from the different perspectives that are out there. In terms of the last couple of things here, some key implications and outcomes. Number one, is there an opportunity to create consumer demand? I don't know that you're necessarily going to create consumer demand where people are going to walk into their doctor's office and say, I want a colonoscopy and I want it now. I think what this type of communication can do, though, is create fertile ground so that, you know, prepare that older adult when this discussion arises with their physician, they're prepared to accept it. The defense mechanisms don't already kick in, that they're willing to follow up and have this test done. Secondly, there's clearly a key role, probably a dominant role, in terms of communications to the professional community about how to most effectively talk to patients, talk to their patients' caregivers, to influence them in terms of getting the testing done. Lastly, as Pauline mentioned here, the reason CMS has funded this and is advancing this work into the community is because clearly there are unique issues that we found in this research for the 65-year-old audience. And as we saw with even some of the campaigns that were out there, very effective with 50-year-olds, we clearly saw that older adults were actually drawing the wrong conclusions from these campaigns. So there is a need for the kind of work that has been done with the general population to be micro-targeted down to the 65-plus 65-plus population. So with that, I'm going to call it a day here, but and then see if you guys have any particular questions that you'd like to ask. There wasn't as much top-of-mind awareness of somebody in an older category, but I've noticed more recently there is use of, I think, like I've seen campaigns now that are featuring older adults. And I think Morgan Freeman is heading up one particular campaign that's targeting African Americans. So they are, I think they're trying to move the campaign up that way. But I think it's not just the spokesperson, it's really the lines of messaging need to be a little bit different. Again, thanks to CMS. There were a lot of people that had a hand in this work, and many of them are here today. So thank you.